Well, welcome to what is episode 50 of the Forever Bristol City podcast. Joining me at the moment is Dave, Fevs, Mark and Ian will be coming along shortly. But it was no cup of joy for City at Bramall Lane tonight. The final score from what looked to be a snowy environment up there. It finished Sheffield United 1, City 0. So, as I just said, no appearance in the quarterfinals for the first time since 1974. Dave, your thoughts on the match as we do? Just a quick overall resume of it.
I guess it was a funny one, really, because I thought we played all right tonight. And then in some respects, we've gone out with a bit of a whimper. So I kind of quite like that we were nice and structured. We looked to have a much better shape to our team. But ultimately, we didn't cause enough problems in the final third. I think, you know, probably needed Callis's shot to go in early doors, and then it might have been a bit of an upset. But no, I was happy enough. And you know, probably the main issue is we've lost Mawson now for a game, haven't we? So that's a disappointment.
Yeah. That's the worst part of it, really, isn't it? Losing Mawson. I mean, what did you think of the lineup that he put out there? You know, it was unexpected to some extent, in part.
Yeah, I guess the rumours from about lunchtime on was that Riley Taylor was going to make his debut at left wing back. So I guess that was a surprise because I'm not sure he's ever played there before. And I thought he acquitted himself pretty well.
Is that right? He's not actually played in that role, no?
I don't think so, no. I say up until probably the return from lockdown last season, I think he's been a central midfielder, nice kind of passing left foot on him. He's probably had a bit of a growth spurt, I'd imagine, and he's over the past year or so. And he's, you know, they thought, well, if he can pass the ball well and he can do that from the back, let's see what we can do from a kind of left centre-back point of view. So he's only a fairly recent convert to centre-back. As far as I know, but I think Jonathan Pearce said tonight he's played wide in midfield before, so perhaps he's played left midfield, but I don't think he's ever played left wing back or even left back. So yeah, fair play to him.
And it was a conventional 3-5-2, would you say? Yes, the way they lined up.
Yeah, I think he tried to play it a bit like early on in the season with perhaps Williams and Patterson playing slightly advanced of Viner, trying to do the Patterson, I guess, and Vyman role from last season. But we never got enough ball to stick up top today, and therefore we never really got a foothold on the game. We had, I think, one 2 or 3 minute passing spell midway through the first half where we played some really nice stuff, kept the ball, and looked like if we could do that a bit more often, then we would have caused some problems. But ultimately, didn't happen often enough, I'm afraid.
No. So getting into the action, and Les has just said if we let him in, he'd tell us a bit about Towler. So Les, if you're still listening, I'll let you in. We do have limited numbers on there, and Ian and Mark aren't still available. So in fact, Les, come and join us in the studio briefly. Les, welcome. Les, we haven't had you on for a while, so welcome in here. To the group. I want you to give your comments about Towler, because Dave and I were querying whether he was a conventional left back, but tell us more.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Got you.
Yeah, I've known him for about 9-10 years. I've probably seen him play about 30 times at a combination of levels, from really poor to Bristol City youth and all that. What people don't know about him is Man City tried to sign him 2-3 years ago, and he's always been a centre midfielder from about 12 to 15, 16.
And then right,
as he got older, Bristol City converted him to a classy ball-playing centre-back. He hasn't got much pace. He's grown hugely over the last few years, and he certainly ain't never had a run at wing-back.
No. He didn't disgrace himself, did he? Because, you know, he was probably there because he had a left foot, which nobody else could do. But he didn't disgrace himself, did he, Les?
Well, no. I mean, the reason he's playing is because he's a left-sided defender.
Yeah.
Well, he's a left-footed defensive player. He ain't a left wing-back. And no, he didn't disgrace himself. I mean, if you look at the first half, he was scared, clearly, to get in the opposition half. But yeah, I suppose he's there to do a defensive job after what's happened in the last few weeks. I thought he grew into the game well. The one thing I would say is there was a couple of times where he lost his man in the six-yard box with them balls across the fullback or the wing-back, Bogle cutting inside. And if one of those chances go in, then people are going to be looking at him. But I think in terms of a first appearance in an unfamiliar position against a Premiership side, I think you need to be realistic. I actually think the last 15, 20 minutes, he grew in confidence and he started to get forward a bit more and have a little play with
the last 20 minutes. Last 20 minutes when we had fewer players on, and we'll come on to that when we get into the detail of the game. So stay with us, Les. Mark, you've just joined us. Dave and I were just sort of quickly, and Les, quickly recapping a brief resume of the game. And Towler, your brief thoughts on the game, Mark, before we look at the individual action that was there.
It's an opportunity missed. I mean, you look at the game, Sheffield United, they had so much, they had 64% of the ball, but they just can't. They can't hit a barn door of a banjo, as we say down here. They just can't score goals. And we just didn't offer enough up front. I mean, the game was over as a contest once Mawson was sent off. Yeah. I just wish we put a bit more pressure on the ball and not allowed Basham and Basham and Bogle and Ampadu and Lowe, who did those overloads on the flanks, put us under so much pressure. McGoldrick was very clever. And the one defining moment for City, their one moment of the game was Naki Wells.
That's right.
Drove me mad. Really banged me, want to bang your fist against the wall. It was stupid. I said on the radio, maybe he thought the patter was offside. Shankly said to a player once, stick it in the back of the net, son, and we'll worry about the flag afterwards. Just get on. And it was an opportunity missed in a nutshell. A shame. Yeah. It goes on, doesn't it? That search for a cup, FA Cup quarterfinal appearance goes on. The one good thing, nice to hear Jonathan Pearce mew so well about City on a live broadcast. I thought, it doesn't get better than that, does it?
It was at least we had him on there. And a co-commentator, as somebody said on Twitter, I think, full of cliches, or it might have been on OTIP. Let's get into the detail of the action. I mean, we had a good early chance, didn't we, Dave? Early on, free kick went to Callas, and that was one of our only three shots on target. But that was a good opportunity, Dave, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a super strike, really, for a ball kind of coming to him, caught a bit of pace off the ground. Yeah, he controlled the kind of volley really well, and Ramsdale made a good save, albeit he pushed it out into an area where he was just hoping that one of our guys was going to gobble it up. But unfortunately, they cleared the ball away. So yeah, that was a good opportunity.
And they had playing up front for them a player that we were linked to at one stage. I think it's Ryan Brewster, who scored a lot of goals for Swansea last season. He'd been goalless for them, but he got in front of Taylor Moore. Probably the only time he did during the game, and that was a good effort of his that clipped the bar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was good movement from them. Good running off the ball and just a couple of sharp passes around the box, and he was in. And I think fair play to Max. I think he came out and made him rush his chance. I was expecting a net to go, but luckily it just clipped the top of the bar and went over.
It did. Les, Ampadu, is he the ex-Chelsea player and a London boy that we've been linked with in the past as well? Yeah?
Yeah, he is. But I think he ended up going to Germany or something like that. Was he at Leipzig and then wasn't getting...
Yeah, he's a Chelsea player. He's on loan there. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went to Leipzig on loan rather than coming to us, and probably a number of other Championship sides didn't get any football. And I think he went to Sheffield United in the summer on loan. Yeah.
Because he was involved in their next chance where it was headed by Bogle straight to O'Leary. And that's not Omar Bogle, is it, Mark? That's another Bogle, isn't it? They're not related.
It's Jaden Bogle. Yeah, Jaden Bogle.
Is he related to Omar or not?
I don't know, but they bought him and Max Lowe in the summer from Derby County, obviously to pay off their debt, which are mounting up, if you're listening, Rams. So they picked up those two. Another one they picked up, and of course David McGoldrick, who played so well tonight, he'd been out, he had terrible injury problems at Ipswich, and they released him. He went there for a trial and he never looked back, has he?
No, he's done well, because it was him and Leon Bess were the pair that took them up a few years ago, I think, weren't they? After we'd come up, I think, if I recall rightly. I mean, Lundstrom, long range shot from him, shot saved by Max O'Leary. Mark, Max O'Leary, if we did sell our star prize asset Dan Bentley, I think Max is an able deputy and could step up, don't you? I mean, he didn't show any flapping, or he dealt with everything competently, I thought, tonight. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he needs, I mean, in the Millwall game, I think he was looked a little bit, he was under pressure, you know, with Matt Smith. So I think he needs to play a few games, you know, and earn a few bruises. But his positional play is very good, very sound. Distribution is good. He only had two bad moments tonight. He came up, but he put out of the goal, but he pulled his arms back to stop himself handling it, and then he came out and lost the ball to Ollie Burke right at the end when we were chasing the game. But I thought, no, his positioning is very sound. He didn't really have to. I mean, he had no real saves to make, and you know, that's Sheffield United all over. He never had to stretch himself.
And Sheffield United, my Sheffield United friend told me that's only the second time this season they've kept a clean sheet. Dave, you've put on there, I think this is about Max, needs to sort his feet out because he backpedals on set pieces. I mean, do you agree with my view that O'Leary could take the number one role if, as I think is likely, Bent attracts an offer that we can't refuse? Is that what do you think of Max?
I wouldn't have any qualms about him playing. He's not in the quality of Dan Bentley, so you have to kind of look at what you're trying to achieve. I guess if you're thinking of trying to get promoted, you might think I want a better keeper than that. But he's gaining good experience as a number two. I think he'll get a bit bigger and he'll fill out a bit more as he gets a bit older. And I think, you know, he's good to have around. But I think you have to say if Bentley goes, you might want another experienced keeper in there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly, Les and Beard have both said absolutely not. So they disagree with us on that. It's all about opinions. But he is the only person that is in the squad at the moment that could raise the eight-figure sum that I think might be required when they look at the finances for this latest financial year. Anyway, back to the action. Start of the second half. Les, Naki Well brought a shot, and it was a great move by City. It could have put them in control. Selfish or did Pato shout? How did you see that, Les, the chance that was spurned at the start of the second half?
I thought it was disgraceful. We're playing against a Premier League team. We're creating absolutely nothing. We're playing basically with a back five. We are going to have very few chances in this game. And they showed a few camera angles, right? The ball he's got to play is one of the easiest balls you're going to have in football. He's got half a half to aim at. There's no one near him. He's just got to slide the ball through. He's under very little pressure at the start of the move. And he's run there with his head down. And that was the only major opportunity we would have had. So I think when he gets back in the changing room, he deserves a complete dressing down. You know what I mean? And I think if we look at his whole spell at his club, people were very excited when he joined. But I think we're seeing now why, I know he doesn't get a lot of service, but we're seeing now why he's had one good season in the Championship in his entire career.
Yeah.
And I think it was a very, very straightforward cross-rule pass that he had to make. And Parry's got great composure. Do you know what I mean?
And he scored good goals at Sheffield in the past. Selfish.
So selfish.
Ian's joined us. Ian, rather than backtrack, we'll pick up on the action that we're talking about here. And right at the start of the second half, it was a golden opportunity for us to take a lead that I wouldn't say we didn't deserve it, but we should have done a lot better with that move, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should. It was, and Patterson made a 30, 40 yard gut busting run to get up there and get in the box. That's what annoyed me. He saw him all right. All he had to do was slide the ball across. Patterson was totally unmarked. And I think the form he was in tonight, I think he'd have got the ball and put it away. I think Patterson and Williams faded in the second half. And hopefully Williams is okay because he had that one crunching tackle. And then the next thing he was sat down and the trainer was on. But I don't think he was going to do any more than 60, 65 minutes tonight anyway. And we've got some midfield players back on Saturday, or available, I should say, on Saturday. So I hope we keep the same formation. Although, you know, left centre back can be a problem unless you play Towler there and brought in the 5'9", Vince Harper.
Vince Harper.
He shrunk.
Yeah, he shrunk. Well, it was.
He's been waiting for a call up for so long, Ian. That's why.
I have had four people send me emails and another three people private messages on Twitter, asking if I'm their agent. Are you Riley Towner and Vince Harper's agent? I said, no, I'm not. Honestly, I'm not. Well,
I thought you were their school nurse, Ian.
Did you see them tonight? Did you see my tip as a left back, Riley Towner? Didn't he ever look good?
He did okay. I wouldn't go OTT about it. You know,
no, I don't rave about young, but compared to Adrian Mariappa, and nothing against Adrian.
He's one of the ones that could
possibly play. I don't know if he'd be better any left side centre back, but he's another one that was played out of position, and I think I want to stay with that formation.
Just before you joined us, I said about Famara, and we've berated Naki Wells for his selfishness there, but I think our illustrious chief executive said he was told by the chairman, let's keep Famara and get value out of him on the pitch. That was another valueless performance from where I'm sitting. I mean, let me ask each of you, Dave. Not great from Pham tonight, or is it not great because of lack of service, or not great because you're not hunting for the ball? Dave, your thought on that?
A bit of everything you've just said there, I think. I think if you're really up for it, and in a game like tonight, chances, shop window for him, isn't it? You know, if he's going to be off in the summer, you can show people what you're about against Premier League defenders. And I didn't think he did enough. I thought he was okay against Brentford the other night. A few people whose opinions I respect thought he wasn't at it. So, I'm happy to, bow to them. But that's now kind of like 3.5 games at nowhere near full tilt. And I didn't expect, I'm not saying he's down tools, but I didn't expect him to show as little effort as this so quickly. I thought, we might get to March, April before we start to see, let's say the worst of Pham. But we're starting to see it too early, in my opinion, and it's a big gamble, from Mark Ashen and Steve Lansdowne, and at the moment it looks like a massive failure to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, the reason why I asked that question was, Semenyo up front in that middle role, do we give Naki Wells a chance in that middle role? Do you play Semenyo and Bell maybe Watford away? Isn't the place to do it. Les, your thoughts on Pham before we get back into the analysis of the game?
I just think he's an average. Well, we haven't got much choice, have we? Who have we got else? Wells, Semenyo hasn't scored a league goal season. He doesn't look like having any composure whatsoever. And Jesus, we ain't got much choice. I think he's an average Championship striker. And I don't think he gets great service. I don't think the striker's had good service for the last, since August, September. So I do have a bit of sympathy for him. One thing I would say is that maybe he does need to work a bit harder and bust the gut to make it look like he actually gives a toss. I mean, I've made it very clear to the people that I know, who I speak to football about, I wouldn't have offered him a new contract anyway. I think he's done been a good servant, but bearing in mind he wants a big fee or wages, whatever, it's not worth it. But I think he's doing an average job in an average side with average service. He's an average striker.
Les, just on what you're saying there, my opinion is I would rather him run himself into the ground for 60 minutes and come off than get 75% at 90 minutes. I think it adds nothing to the team if he's not playing on.
Yeah, but the problem is, what is he, 6 foot what? He's 6'3". 6'3". Yeah. He's a big bloke. He ain't going to be able to bust a gut for 75 minutes because he's not one of these smaller blokes with lots of energy who can run. He ain't got the body type for that. He's not that kind of player. In my opinion, he's a bit of an old-fashioned target man. I know people disagree on that. I know people think there's more to his game. I'm not convinced. So I'm not sure he has it in him to do that. What I would say is, to take on board your point, I do think he is inconsistent with the effort that he puts in. Yeah. There are games where he does seem to put a little bit more in than others.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've seen that for the last three, four games, but I don't think he's ever going to be a striker who for 75 minutes busts a gut.
And it's interesting, those three or four games, is the most recent three or four, but when the transfer window was open, we saw some of the old fam there, didn't we? Certainly from the beginning of Jan. That's just my view, being a little bit cynical.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go on, Mark. In you go.
Yeah, there was, I mean, his first touch can be poor. I won't say what, Christian Honor said about him, but Williams played him right in the channel tonight. He had space to move into, and his first touch, he trapped it further than some players could pass it. It just ran out for a goal kick. But he didn't win many balls in the air tonight, and I think that's what we want him for, is hold the ball up or flick the ball on. He just didn't get into the game at all. And all right, there wasn't much service, but he didn't affect the game, and I think that's what he really wanted to do, affect the game. And perhaps Semenyo, who might have offered us more energy, but I agree with Les, he hadn't got any composure, but at least he would have carried the ball up the pitch, and we needed to do that because that's what Sheffield United did. Lots of energy on the flanks, supported by centre-backs, and if we're going to play with wing-backs, we need them galloping up those flanks. And maybe stick with Riley Towler for the next game because, I mean, who else is going to play that side? You know, there's comfortable on the left. There isn't anybody, is there?
No, let's get back into the action. And Tomo's put up a good question that we're, as he said, we can chew that over in a minute. But Pato not getting that ball from Wells and then Williams going off. Sheffield did start to get into the ascendancy. Towler did one good bit of play where he had a player lurking behind him and he shepherded it out for a corner. There was more pressure from the Blades and McGoldrick hit it wide. And then it was a ping pong in the penalty spot, the penalty area on 65 minutes, two crosses off the line and the bar. But then, Ian, we had VAR featuring, I think, in a Bristol City match for the first time. When you looked at it three or four times, did he flick his hand out? You know, and the referee trying to look at that little screen in snow, you know, it was all down to him. But the right decision, and it has to be the right decision to go off, or what? What do you think?
Yeah, the referee's got no choice. Deliberate handball is off the line. And if it just hit his arm, I mean, when I saw it in real time, I thought it hit his chest and went up onto the bar. But it didn't. And his left arm definitely moves towards the ball. He swings it. So he knew what he did. We'd have got away with it. If that had been Watford, he did it, we'd have got away with it.
There's no VAR.
Wasn't
there an incident earlier on in the game where it looked like a handball and it didn't go to VAR? Was that down our end when we were attacking?
No, it did go to VAR, and they said that it the ball basically bounced up from one
that's
part of
right,
his body.
That's right, it bounced up. That's
Ampadu,
it.
Wasn't it?
It was Ampadu, yeah, in that's the area from a long throw, and it dropped into him.
It is forearm. So that wasn't the same. That was a penalty, and he's been sent off, and he's going to miss a game on Saturday. And I don't think, to be honest, Mawson, he was a bit better tonight, but the last few games he's not been that great. He's been bullied.
He doesn't look like a £20 million defender, does he?
He doesn't look like an £8 million defender. And you know, the problem that we've got when if we play a three is who goes on the left-hand side of the three. That's the issue. And I think we should play a three. It'll probably be poor old Taylor Moore because or you could do a major gamble and stick Vince Harper in at left wing back and Riley Towler at left centre back. Riley's 6'1", 6'2", so he'd be absolutely fine at left centre back. But Vince Harper is very quick. I don't know if you saw the under 23 goals, but he shifts and he makes good forward runs. I thought too many of our players are happy to make a forward run, stop, and pass it backwards. They don't commit defenders. It's part of our don't close down, don't tackle policy. I'd rather see the bloke try and run past somebody and lose the ball rather than just keep getting the ball, you know, run up the line, and instead of whipping in across, turn around and pass it backwards, and we start all over again. And even doing that, we only finish up with 36% possession.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, our best effort tonight was Thomas Callas, wasn't it? That was a good save from Ramsdale.
It was a good save. Yeah, I mean, I'll come to each of you about the decision. I mean, it was cut and dried, really. I mean, Dave, straightforward penalty, and the rules are the rules, so it's harsh, but Mawson gets the red card because of where it was, yeah?
The thing with VAR, that always does me that once they call the referee over, they only ever give him one camera angle. And I'd just for my own benefit, I'd have liked to have seen it from the front again, just to see whether it got a touch from O'Leary, for example. And, you know, and I don't know whether that made any difference to the rules or whether it did flick up off of Mawson's thigh. But the referee's given one camera angle, which was a, you know, kangaroo court to some extent, wasn't it? You know, he wasn't going to give anything else once he saw that camera angle. I just think sometimes VAR is a bit kind of divisive in what it shows the referee.
And the sending off is purely, the sending off part of it is because the ball was going into the goal as opposed to him sticking a hand out inadvertently to block a cross. That's what's critical there, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Les, any complaints about the penalty award?
No, the rules are the rules, aren't they? It's come off his hand, it's going in the net, it's a penalty and it's a red card, black and white, as simple as that.
Yeah. Mark, the game, once it's 1-0 and you're down to 10 men against you could see why they're bottom of the Premier League, but the game was pretty much all over bar then. But the substitutes when they were made, I think Les or Dave might have said earlier on in the conversation, we were one man down, but we had a bright sort of period. I think Sheffield maybe almost got another one, but it wasn't, you know, we had a bit more energy in the closing quarter of the game, didn't we? Closing 15 minutes, I should say.
Yeah, we passed the ball around well, and Casey Palmer and Semenyo got involved, but we just didn't pass it quickly enough and get players in the area that, you know, that could get goal side. That was the problem. They let us have the ball in phases, and then, you know, when we came up against their centre backs again, they just broke too easily, where we overcommitted and should have scored a third. But when I saw Casey Palmer try and play a couple of through the eye of a needle passes when he really should have just kept the ball live, try and get the ball down the side, to, you know, to give us a chance to turn their centre backs, you know, to make them face goal, you know, and then hit the ball hard across the box and get somebody running onto it. We, you know, we just played with that fear tonight. What, you know, we could lose 3-0, but at least have a go. It's all right passing the ball around, but we're 1-0 down, for God's sake. Get the ball in the box and get some players' goals signed. Get onto it.
Yeah.
It's just it was wasted.
Okay, look, I'm not going to go through marks with everybody tonight. I'm just going to say, did we think anybody was worthy of a 7 or above?
Yeah.
Any nominations, 7 or above?
Max O'Leary. And Callas.
Taylor
Moore, Thomas Callas, and Joe Williams were my...
Les, I know you haven't been with us for a while, but markings, would you give anybody a 7 or above?
Well, I don't think he should have played, but Joe Williams I would have given a 7. I think he showed glimpses of what we wanted in a Corey Smith replacement, in the sense he gets around the pitch very well. He's got good distribution of passing, he's box to box. I thought he had a spell where he was a 7. But I suppose a different argument is I don't think he should have played. But he was the only one I'd give a 7 to.
Yeah. Ian, any 7s or above for you?
Well, it's interesting. BBC have changed their site so that you give player ratings.
Oh, you
ratings.
Vote, don't you? Yeah, I've seen
that. You vote. And Riley Towler got man of the match, but he got 6.58. Nobody else got higher than that. So I wouldn't say he was man of the match. I concur with what the lads have said. I thought Joe Williams showed glimpses, but he faded a bit. And Pato, once again, seemed in good shape. But once again, he faded after about 60 minutes. But both of them would, because they've only just come back from long injuries.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's fair enough not to expect them to be able to do 90 minutes. But my view about players like that is you can either use them as an impact player for 25 minutes or start them, get 2 or 3 nil up, and then put the other lads on to see the game out. You know, if that's – but we are – a lot of things are wrong. You know, let's not cloud over. A lot of things are wrong with our team in terms of closing down, tackling. There isn't really a creative spark. I mean, we never had anybody who could take a corner or a free kick once Patterson went off.
Williams takes a wicked corner in. I'm surprised that on Saturday he didn't take them.
Yeah.
Jack Hunt, I mean, it summed up our performance really when he took that free kick with 30 seconds to go and he just smashed it up the field straight into the arms of their goalkeeper when we had everybody in the penalty area.
I think that
sums us up a bit.
Yeah, somebody said Hunt looked absolutely knackered. Mark, let me come to you. Anybody seven or above, or do you just agree with what the lads have said?
Yeah, I said Callas and O'Leary. I did think that, you know, Joe Williams will offer us something. You know, he made a couple of good tackles and you know, I think he's good for a through ball. And I like to see him, you know, higher up the pitch when he gets the opportunity, you know, an all-rounder like Josh Brownhill was. And I think that's what, you know, we were hoping he'd be. But you can't expect miracles from him after he's been out for 6 months. And let's hope he's fit for Saturday because we need him. But it's going to be difficult, isn't it, the next game? And they do worry about us in the next couple against Watford and Reading.
We'll come on to the games in the overall form next. Mm. Before we do that, just on the finish up on the markings, I mean, anybody five or less? I mean, for me, Deasy and Wells, 2 5s. Maybe Arsh to give them a 4, but I think those two would be the 2 5s in there. Anybody disagree with that or think I'm being generous? 5, 2 5s?
Wells are 4 alone because I'm so angry. One thing somebody said on the text messaging, imagine if Semenyo had done that to Wells. I mean, he goes puce every time, you know, somebody doesn't give him the ball, he's waving his arms.
He always does look like he's sucking on a lemon anyway. But, okay, look, the cup does not overfill with joy for us anymore. We're out of it. We can focus on the league. 18 games to go. Now, as Tomo has pointed out, come out next is Watford. That was the last time we had a draw. I think it was 0-0, I think, wasn't it? 0-0 draw, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have played 16 league games since then. And our record is 1-5 drawn, well, including the Watford game, 1-5 drawn 1, lost 10. That ain't very good. And what are we going to do about it? Let me come to you, Les. Transfer window shut. 30 seconds. What would you do now? Is the season over? Do we blood more of the youngsters? Because we probably have only need to win 4 games out of 18 to not get relegated.
Well, no, I don't think you can look at it from that perspective. You've got to take it game by game. I watch Watford against Coventry on the weekend and they were absolutely dreadful. I know their fans are up in arms, so I think we'll get a point against Watford. The only thing I'd say is Riley Taylor did very well tonight against a wing-back. If he plays on Saturday, he's against a £40 million right-winger.
Star, isn't it? Is it Star? Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I think we need to be realistic here. That could ruin him, or he could really dent his confidence if he gets potentially ripped a new one. So I think we need to take it game by game. And I would actually, I appreciate people disagree with this, I'd play Zach Viner at left back on Saturday just because he's got a bit of experience. He's solid. He reads the game quite well.
But he ain't got a left foot.
Well, what happens then? You're going to play him against Riley Taylor, who's a defensive midfielder or centre-back against the best player in the league.
Or you could move Riley Taylor in one and give Vince Harper a go. It strikes me that
Proven Vince Harper against Saar. I mean, this is a kid who hasn't...
He's not going to get proven unless he plays. Well, put Mariappa there. See how that goes. He's proven.
And Mariappa against Saar is probably the worst of all options, really.
You know, we should have gone out and got a left back. I mean, even now, if you look at that, even the lad we were going to sign from Wigan, Pierce, is now got a long-term injury, apparently, I was reading today. So, you know, if he'd have come to us, he might not have got it. But we just needed to go and get a left back.
We are where we are.
I can see what Les is saying. I mean, David, you'll remember when I think Aaron Pritchard was blooded up at Crystal Palace in a game in the FA Cup years ago and got ripped one by Kenny Sampson, who was a star at the time and on the right flank. And yeah, a player can be ruined about that like that. But the trouble we've got is there ain't anybody else. But we haven't got anybody else. What do we do?
This is my point. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's all right saying, well, yeah, okay. I mean, what we need really is Jada Silva to play there. All I have to do is get the wheelchair on early and stick him there, and he can follow him around in a motorised wheelchair. I mean, we just haven't got
Mr. Miyagi to rub his leg like he did in the Karate Kid or something
That's who we want, Mr. Miyagi.
I think we've got
no sense, have we? So,
all right.
I think you have to be very mindful, and I think you know, picking up on what Les has said, if we go back however many seasons ago, it is 4 or 5 seasons ago when Zach Viner made his debut up at MK Dons.
That's it. And
he came through it okay. I don't think he was brilliant that night, that day. We came through it, we won. And then on the Tuesday night, we played Brighton at home.
And he got destroyed.
He got destroyed by Jamie Murphy. And I think, you know, Les's point, you have to be just careful. If you're gonna play him again on Saturday, one, you've got to perhaps realise that he might have got through tonight on adrenaline alone, because that's what happens. Is your first game, you know, you play differently on debut probably to what you might do regularly. So if Holden's going to play left wing back, he needs to be bloody careful about who he plays left centre back. And let's not forget, Mawson might not have been fantastic tonight, but he's an experienced player, and he's probably talking Riley Towler through the whole game. Well, for 66 minutes until he got red carded. So if you then play, say, actually, we're going to stay with a 3-5-2, and you think, right, who's going to play left centre back? If it's Mariappa, then Taylor's probably not going to have the kind of pace to cover him behind him with Mariappa there. If you play Taylor more, then you've got the inexperience inside him again there. And I think if we look at that tonight, I think it's pretty clear that Joe Williams played left of the three today and Jamie Patterson played right of the three to give him a bit of cover. And Williams was pretty conservative for the first half an hour as well, just to make sure he bedded in. And I think all those little things are things you need to factor in before you make your team selection. I don't know what I'd do at the moment. You know, tonight's game's still fresh in my mind. But I think you'd be looking at, as Les says, you've got Ismaïla Sarr, 40 million from wherever he came from, plays right wing. Now, you might say, well, actually, if he plays wide up against him, then actually that should leave someone free somewhere else. But, you know, that's for them and their opposition analysts to work out what the best thing is. But, you know, let's just be careful.
What about Jack Hunt? What about Jack Hunt at left back? Because he's played there.
He was awful at right back tonight, so God knows what he's going to do.
Stupid idea, by the way.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right,
well, we are where we are. Les made a good point. He said, because I said, let's look at the balance of the season. He said, take each game by game. I think Watford, I read a little snippet somewhere, I can't think where it was, that they got a few problems off the field with the players and the manager and stuff like that. And I think that Troy Deeney, I think the sooner he gets out of the club for the benefit of the club, the better, because I think he exerts more power. And that's just a perception that I pick up. So maybe we will get a draw there. QPR managed to get a win. I think Les won it. That's who beat them at home the other week. Is that right? Is that the game you watched?
Yeah, I saw bits of it. They lost to QPR at home. Then I saw the game against Coventry on Saturday afternoon. And I tell you what, they look completely disjointed. They looked like they weren't interested. They certainly weren't playing for the manager. And I watched a bit of a Watford one, Watford fans thing the other day. Yeah. And they were absolutely scathing about the manager and the players. You do find that a lot. Top players on big wages, on big money, drop down to the Championship. And they don't perform to their potential because they don't necessarily want to be them. They don't have that love for the club. So they are a mess at the moment. I know they're fourth in the league, but their fans aren't happy and they're not playing.
So maybe it's a good place. Maybe it's a good place to go and stop the rot. But Dave, I said Tomo pointed out 5-1-10 is the last 16 games. And he just said the next five in February are Watford, Reading, Barnsley, Borough and Swansea. And he says 1 point a game. And then it's like the 16, you know, 5 point, you know, it's a point a game, like it's been for the last 16. You know, what can we do? Taking Les's point about a game at a time, but we've got 18 matches. We've got to win 11 to get that sixth slot. Would you agree with that, Dave? Got to win 11.
Just trying to think of the maths of it.
That would put us on 72.
You're going to want, you're going to want 30 odd points, aren't you, from your last amount of games. Do I see us doing it? Do I hell?
No.
Should we give up on it? Absolutely not. Because you just never know. You can get a run together. It, you know, probably around Christmas, I thought you'd probably need 75, 76, 77 points to get in the playoffs. I really thought the top six would, you know, push away a bit. But, you know, sixth place in, just trying to think who's sixth at Bournemouth, have dropped like a stone. And actually, you think, actually, there's one place left and it's sixth.
There is, because we're 9 points behind fifth with the poorest goal difference. So we're 10 points off fifth.
So you don't give up, because, you know, this is championship football and you have to give everything every game, otherwise you'll get whooped by whoever. So we should still be pushing to finish as high as we can, in the slim hope that we can, you know, form some form of run and get sick. I don't think it'll happen, but I wouldn't be giving up on it.
No, so you won't give up, but you think it's unlikely. Ian, what would you be looking at now? Because you disagree with me 3 months ago when I said Holden's got a free hit because of COVID, and you said, quite rightly quoted the board, that this is a man that's going to take us to the next level. Well, the next level wasn't dictated to by COVID, I don't think. But, how would you be setting your stall out if you're Dean Holden between now and the end of the season?
At the moment, I'd go to Watford and I'd attack. If you sit down and start worrying about all the other sides in the championship that have got better players than us, particularly with the injuries we've got, I think it's a very negative outlook. So my view is I would go to Watford, I would attack. We've got to start scoring some goals. We can't have a chicken-hearted performance like we had against Cardiff, because if that was all the lads being up for it and they know how much it means to the fans, and if that was a demonstration of that, then we really have got problems. I'd go there and attack. I'd play a 3-5-2. I'd push the wing backs forward. I wouldn't be worried about if you don't want to play 3-5-2. I think you need three in central midfield to compete with anybody, because we haven't got a two that's good enough. Go 4-5-1 and play Patterson and Semenyo wide. And that way you've got cover for your fullbacks, and just put Pham up front. I wouldn't start Naki Wells. We know Mawson can't play. So just go 4-4-5-1 with Taylor Moore and Callas. You can have Viner in midfield with Lansbury and Williams, or Lansbury and Masengo. And play in there. I want to see our side play in their half, because we just don't do it. You know, the minute the other side got the ball, we're all back in the penalty area.
Yeah.
And we've got to stop doing that. We've got to break up the play in our attacking third and get in on goal. You know, the sort of thing Marvin Elliott used to be brilliant at. And that's what we need to do. I mean, I just think this, you know, going up there and they got a 40 million winger and they got this bloke and that bloke and all the other. Go up there and just smash them.
Yeah.
Get stuck into them. Smash them.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to know it, if they're having the problems that Les was talking about, then their heads will go down. You score a goal or two and their heads will go down.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
That's what we need to do. We're not going to be 6 points off the playoffs with 18 games to go that many seasons, right?
Yeah.
Especially if we start selling our best players, which it looks to me like, well, we're letting 11 of them go for nothing. Don't forget, at the end of the season, Mawson and Sessegnon go back to Fulham. So that's 13 going from the squad. So, you know, let's have a real go. And all right, if we, of the games left, if we win 9 and lose 9, so be it. But at least... Yeah. We're not going to be on the edge of our seats thinking, Christ, I want us to get to 50 points so we don't get relegated. And that's what I'm looking at the moment.
Yeah. Liam's just put up here on the text, Dean Holden said Joe Williams had a tight hamstring. We know what that means. Hope to God it isn't like that. Mark, your thoughts. I mean, Ian's right. We're 6 points off the playoff with 18 games to go. We could put a run together like we did when John Ward took over. He won 6 out of the last 7, if I recall correctly. And you never know what can happen. But those next 5, if we only get 5 points, as Tomo was suggesting there, then the season is over. Do you experiment more with youth? And I saw the goals from the under-23 game. Do you bring on somebody like that, Louis Britton, and give him a little run out, or give him 25 minutes in a game? You know, just try some of these youngsters when we're not under pressure. And, you know, if we get 5 points off of the next 5 games, it just keeps us away from the bottom, let's say the bottom 5. Yeah. So what would you be looking to do, Mark?
It'd be a nice idea, but but managers normally play it safe, and they normally give their under-23s an outing on the final day of the season when they know they're safe. That seems to be the form. I mean, the problem we got is we scored 10 goals in our first five games, and we only scored 19 in the following 23. And if we lose on Saturday to Watford, then Dean Alden is really under pressure. That'll be four league defeats in a row with Reading coming up on Wednesday, Tuesday. It's very difficult. So he needs to play a settled side who build some form up. Don't play with fear. Have a go at the opposition. We just, like Ian said, we just don't do that. We don't put pressure on the ball and we don't affect the game in their half, which is why we have so few shots. And we're not putting, we have so few crosses. I mean, look at the corners that we won in the games against Derby and the following one. We didn't win one corner even against Huddersfield. That's how bad it is. You know, our attack, that's how limp that we look. So we got to go for it. Show no fear and try and grind out some results. Unless we get a settled side, I think Patterson will make a difference. But we really need somebody adding bite in midfield. Viner and Williams has really got
Lansbury. We got Lansbury because was Lansbury cup tied today? Is that why he
he had a bereavement.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Family,
I heard
it was a family thing. Didn't they?
All right, so yeah. I mean, we could put. I think we've got. If you look at our squad, even with three or four players still out injured. And okay, and we've got undisputably a problem at left back, but let's give the youngsters a chance. Everybody's saying, look, it's worthwhile doing that rather than playing people out of position. But I think we have got a decent squad. Yeah, I really do. And, you know, and I think Tomo said, do we think Holden is under threat this season and Holden safe? And you said no, Dave. So you're usually quite conservative. Do you actually think Holden, if the bad run continues, when does unsafe become in capitals rather than just underlined and lowercase?
I don't know. I think, you know, it depends on level of performance and things like that. We've had some pretty poor performances of late. And I think if we carried on, you know, and I won't even put a number on it, losing games without affecting the game, then I think they change. I really do. I think, you know, it would be stupid just to let the season meander away, because you could end up going into your last month of the season thinking, blimey, we're only a couple of results away from relegation. You know, teams at the bottom are all picking up points. Mm. And you know, some of them have found their form a little bit. You know, Rotherham have, I don't know exactly what their form is, but, you know, they're clear of the relegation, or not clear, but they're, you know, they're actually
doing well until they lost to Cardiff. I think they lost to Cardiff.
Did you see what somebody posted on OTIB about Hull? Sorry to butt in. They said that they, at the same stage, this stage last season, they had the same number of points, 8+8 goal difference, and they finished bottom. I don't know if anybody's looked into that. I don't think anybody's challenged it, but there's
it's true.
There's
a warning. They fell off a cliff, but they sold Bowen and Grzycki, didn't they?
Grzycki, yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit different. We've actually got players coming back. You know, whether that, you know, I honestly, you know, you asked earlier on whether I saw us getting promoted or getting in the top six. I don't see that, but I don't see us getting relegated either.
No,
could both happen? Absolutely, and we need to guard against that, and we need to pick up as many points as we can as quickly as possible to either keep us in the hunt for top six, which is unlikely, but ultimately make sure we don't get dragged into having to fight a relegation battle.
Yeah, because, you know, I think it's fair to say that we probably won't show an improvement on last season. And then if you're Dean Holden, you're thinking, well, I'm out on my ear at the end of June or whenever the contract runs out, because as has been widely
Dave, it doesn't. His contract doesn't run out. You keep getting that wrong.
Contract law, mate.
He's got a 1 year. Rolling contract. So
I suggest you look at the definition of on some legal sites about what a 1 year rolling contract is, because it ain't what most of us thought it is.
No, because I've been saying what you're saying. You know,
so have I as well, but I've been reading up, as you know, David, reading up on it this week.
You posted it, yeah.
I did, yeah. It ain't as black and white as we made out. And when 20 men asked Mark Ashton what his contract was, Mark Ashton was very guarded about what he said. He just said, yeah, it's a normal football contract. And according to some legal sites that I've been looking on, there is no such thing as a... In fact, you look on the League Managers Association website and you will see there is no such thing as a standard manager's contract. And if you go and look at... Ian, this is one for you, because you like doing your Google checks for heights and weights. Go and look up a guy called Mike Thornton on rolling contracts in football.
I think none of us know, Ian, is the answer.
We're all working off assumptions.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know, but the thing is, if his contract is up for renewal at the end of the year, it's like the sales director coming into quarter four, you're going to fall short of the target that was set as your minimum performance for the year. Yeah, so he's on a hide into nothing. And at what point does Ashton think it's his back or mine? So I'll instruct pulling of the trigger, maybe. You know, that could happen in five games' time, couldn't it? What do you think, Les? I mean, you said take each game as it comes, but there must be a cut-off point for you when you say, look, this guy's not going to make it in terms of taking us to the next level, which is what the brief was when he joined, wasn't it?
Well, the problem is I don't think anyone knows what's really going on in Mark Ashton's head. I mean, I don't think he'll be affording the same luxury as what Lee Johnson had, because obviously when Lee Johnson was manager, they sacked the assistant to give him a bit more time to try and save face. I don't think Holden will be afforded that kind of same level of respect. I mean, I suppose it depends on performances, like was mentioned earlier. I mean, I think Dave said earlier that, you know, we're probably not going to go up, probably not going to go down. I think the only difference is this season is that the teams at the bottom of the league, with the exception of Wickham, are winning games of football. Forest are going on a run. Derby are going on a run. Sheffield Wednesday are winning games. Rotherham are going on a run. So yeah. I think the only way Holden will go is if we end up dropping to the point where we are lower mid-table. And I said in the summer when I was last on air, you know, the person
it's
we
been
should
a long
have
winter,
got,
Les.
Yeah, and the person who's still available, who I said on this raid on this show, should have got the job at the time, is Paul Cook. And he's still free.
I know.
And this is a bloke who sets up his teams with a real clear identity, a real clear philosophy, a proven track record. And I still can't understand. And I don't believe this rubbish that people say, oh, he wouldn't have taken the job. The club wasn't structured. Paul Cook would have snapped our hands off to manage his club, because I've heard what he said about Bristol City in the past. And so for me, the only way he'll go is if we get to lower mid-table. We are starting to really worry about relegation. They'll get rid of him then. If it happens, if it doesn't happen, I think he'll still be here next season.
Yeah. And
the trouble is though, with the likely turnover of players in pre-season, can you see Holden building the club back to make an assault next season? That's the problem. You know, even if we finish mid-table, there's going to be such a turnover of players. Could you really see him strengthen the team in the right way? Can he attract players?
What he said, if you listen to what Mark Ashton said the other day, he said Dean Holden is playing with a lot of Lee Johnson players. They're not his players. They're not his squad, which gives me the impression, I mean, this is Mark, like I said, this is Mark Ashton. He's going to spin it. It could be a case of, you know, we'll get to the summer. Dean Holden will get the squad of players that he wants. I mean, he's not going to get us promoted, is he? Come on. I mean, I still can't understand this idea, like you said earlier, about Holden being the man to take us to the next level. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But I think he'll be given time. I don't think he'll get as much time as Lee Johnson, but he'll be given time. And the only way it goes if we really fall off the cliff and head towards you know, 15th. If we get to 15th, 16th in the league, that's when something might happen.
Yeah. No, I think, and we're not that far away from it, to be honest. We're a couple of straight defeats away from that. I mean, guys, I bet we wish we were up at or watching Goodison Park, because the latest score coming through there was, it's in extra time there now, Everton 5, Tottenham 4. Bloody heck. You know, what would we do to see a game like that? Although we did once, about, was it 3 years ago? Hull 5, City 5. Anybody been watching? Let's change the subject. It's time to wrap up in a minute. My pet thing, Lee Johnson, how he's doing at Sunderland. He was getting some pelters on their forum last night. I'll tell you, if you haven't had a look, read some of the comments on there. And I listened to his press interview afterwards, and everything, in fact, I texted a Sunderland friend of mine tonight. I said, there you go, told you so. But are we being harsh? Do you think he's...
Somebody said if they had the energy, they'd let his tyres down. On
That's right. That was just, one of the.
Oh, that had me rolling that, around. That was so funny.
That was one of the ones that I saw on there. Guys, look, it's been a disappointing.
Can I just say one thing?
Sorry, I was going to say, Mark, you want to talk? There's a City fan, sadly, who passed away, who I don't know personally, but I think most of you do. Mark, you wanted to say a little piece, so. Please say that.
Well, I just want to pass on the words of his good friend Mark Newman. Ian probably knows Lester Solway a lot better than me. I'm Ewan passing. Yeah. A fan with real fire in his belly, of long standing, and told it like it was. And Mark, who lives in Weston, where Lester was from, said. He's passed this on to my sister Lisa on WhatsApp. Lester, you are departed, leaving your dear friends and family behind with so many happy memories. It is difficult to imagine our lives without a friend who has been such a strong support, someone to make us smile, and a friend for life. May your soul rest in peace.
No, it's a nice piece. And I think he, in his final hours, if I read correctly, he was having the Wurzels playing in the background sort of thing, which is...
What a way to go.
What a way to go. Guys, I think it's time to wrap up because it's coming up to 10:30. I'm going to get my cup of cocoa and some lovely cakes that my other half's been making.
David, if you gave us a sponsor's name, we might get some freebies. I mean, apparently there's other podcasts that take the shilling, don't they? And not like
well,
us.
We don't. We're not doing it. We're not doing any of that. I mean, it was some interesting threads on the pod, and we're all different. That's the key thing.
Yeah,
that's the key thing. You know, I'm happy with the feedback that we're getting, because we are like four blokes chatting about football down the pub. We're not getting into food yet or anything like that, and we are totally independent. Yeah, and I think that's always what we're going to be. It is episode 50 coming to an end. So I'd like to thank all four of you tonight, Les, Mark, Ian, and you, Dave. Great contributions, as always. Another good audience. I mean, we've had consistently downloads between 350 and 480 over the last couple of weeks, so that's good. Another good audience. They're not all listening now, but we've had a total of 74 people in the live studio. Les, good to have you back in tonight as well, so we haven't heard from you for a while. So good contributions. It's been a bit of a laugh, as I say. Disappointing result. Roll on to Watford on Saturday, and I have a feeling that one will be a draw, to be honest, which wouldn't be a bad thing in the overall scheme of things, but you just never know. Guys, have a good evening, and thanks for your contribution, all of you. All the best. Cheers now.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, David. Take care, everybody.
Cheers. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.